your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
I'm John Batchelor. Steve Hayward is here. He is the Edward Gaylord Distinguished Visiting Professor at Pepperdine School of Public Policy. Most importantly, he's the author of a revelatory new piece about comparing and contrasting the administrative state under Richard Nixon, 1969 to 1974, with the administrative state of 2025 to Donald Trump's second term, and taking the assumption that the administrative state is a burden for both of them, what is to be done? We mentioned loyalty. That already, Steve, seems to horrify Washington when there's a replacement in the executive branch. I guess that horrification is just built in to the idea of people losing their jobs. Was that always there from the beginning of the Republic when a president made a decision, people were scandalized?
No, I think it's gotten worse in modern times because of the media and sort of the political culture we have. Look, I think this is a great shell game going on, though. I think when people say, oh, they're hiring loyalists and not professionals and experts, that's really a dodge of liberals and the establishment in Washington who want their own kind in the jobs. You know, sometimes people talk of the Uniparty in Washington, and I think that can be overdone. But there is this aspect of it that's right, which is both parties tend to want to have experts who are acceptable to academia and to the media. And you see that, and Trump did that in his first term. He appointed a lot of well-known people, people with Washington background and experience, and he ended up regretting that because they usually ended up turning against him, like his chiefs of staff and so forth. And so in this term, he's appointing some, you know, people who've been on Fox News and people from all over the country that do not have Washington resumes. And I think that's on purpose, because I think he wants to end this monopoly or duopoly of you only appoint people who are acceptable to the Washington consensus. But the other thing that's going on is he's challenging a lot of legal doctrines. One, can he reclassify civil service employees to make them at-will employees at the senior ranks that the president can fire at will? That's something Franklin Roosevelt wanted back in the 30s, and the Supreme Court said he couldn't. But I think the current Supreme Court is poised to change their mind about that. And so when a case finally gets to the Supreme Court in the next year or two, they're going to reverse an old case, famous case called Humphrey's Executor, and that will broaden the power of President Trump or any president to remove a lot more civil service employees or move them around. One of the things that Nixon said to George Shultz on one of the tapes in 1971 or 72 is, you know, we're not appointing people who are loyal and these civil servants think they can get away with anything. He says, we ought to let the civil service know that there are punishments if you block our agenda. Send them to an office in Guam, Nixon said. And I've often thought that'd be an effective tactic, which is for the federal government to open a big office building in Anchorage, Alaska, and send permanent civil servants there in January if they were obstructing the president's agenda. That would be I was surprised to learn that Nixon had thought of that, you know, more than 50 years ago.
Richard Nixon attempted to, in some fashion, trim the federal budget. There were fancy words for it. I don't remember it being successful. Mr. Trump, as of yet, is not even trying that. He's gone right to get rid of this, get rid of that. Is that a possibility to line veto?
Well, it's not really a line item veto. What it is known as impoundment, which is Congress may appropriate some money for a purpose, and then the president says, I'm going to impound the funds and not spend them. Usually the reason given is the money's the purpose is no longer valid. Thomas Jefferson, as president, canceled or impounded some funds to build some Navy warships when we thought we might be going to war against France, and then we did. He said, well, we don't need these warships, so I'm not going to spend the money. Lots of presidents impounded funds. I think President Johnson and President Kennedy both impounded something like 6% of congressional spending in a couple of particular years. And Nixon wanted to use that power also to just stop spending and reduce it. And what happened was the Watergate scandal weakened the president and increased the power of the bureaucracy because Congress passed a bill after Nixon resigned restricting the president's impoundment power. Instead, what they said was you can ask for rescissions, which is the president can send back some particular items and ask Congress to vote on them. And Trump has done that. He sent back a package of about $9 billion in spending, which is not very much these days. And Congress did approve those rescissions, including to a lot of, you know, crazy left-wing things that Doge discovered. So he's just getting started, and he wants to test, I know, again, in court, whether the congressional acts from the 1970s that limit a president's impoundment power are unconstitutional. So I expect we'll still see Trump attempting at some point to use the impoundment power that right now is legally ambiguous.
The courts are much involved in the policy these days, to my reading, because federal judges stop the policy momentarily, temporary, I believe. I think the court has ruled that you can only stop the policy that's in your courtroom, but so far I don't think anybody's obeying that. Is that going to be helpful in getting control of the state?
Well, yeah, so what you're talking about is sort of universal injunctions that a district court judge will give when somebody walks in. And, of course, that's encouraging forum shopping around the country for a sympathetic liberal judge, and they're not hard to find. So I think we have almost 1,000 federal district court judges around the country. So the Supreme Court has said, no, you have to stop doing that, but they left some exceptions open, one for class actions, which usually are hard to get certified in a hurry. And some judges are already abusing that loophole. And then the other thing is the Supreme Court, on a broader level, has indicated that they're rethinking the sort of radical autonomy of the bureaucracy of the last 50 years. And we've already seen, even before Trump came back to office, the Supreme Court make some landmark decisions, what we call the major questions doctrine, ending what was called the Chevron doctrine, which was essentially a carte blanche for the bureaucracy to do any rules they wanted. And that represents a serious change in our legal regime, and it's much to the benefit of Trump or anyone else trying to curtail our runaway administrative state. So I'm kind of optimistic that on the legal front, Trump is going to win more than he's going to lose, and he already has won more than he's lost, I think, at the appellate levels. So, yeah, we're in the middle of a real-time judicial revolution, not unlike the one we saw in the 1930s that unleashed the New Deal.
Steve, 30 seconds. Do the American people want the president to be in charge of the government? Is that what they vote for?
Well, yes. I mean, look, this is Nixon's point. The president is the only person in our national government elected by all the people. Right. And so, you know, there's supposed to be a voice for all the people and primary defender of the Constitution. And that's why Nixon thought, gosh, I just won 49 states in the largest landslide in American history. I think the people have spoken and I have a mandate to do these things. And I think Trump is trying to fulfill that mandate.
Steve Hayward for Civitas Outlook.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your Social Security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.